Amen. If you want to go to heaven, can I see your hand up? Okay. If you want to go to heaven, can you stand up? Stand up with a Bible, with your Bible. If you don't want to go to heaven, sit down. Stand up with your Bible. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Amen. Listen, before you sit down, we shall take that reading, then we will sit down. The theme for this program is what? Power to conquer. Power to conquer. And that's what we want to talk about now. Amen. It's either power to conquer or power to overcome. And we have that in Revelation chapter 3. We pick it as a text, then we sit down and talk the much we can talk before the prophets will come and start to fly. I'm reading from verse 20. If we are there, I read from verse 20. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit said, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Amen. Power to conquer. Power to overcome. By the time I finish this message, church, listen, I will have answered the following 8 questions. Amen. By the time I finish, I'm not going to answer the questions serially like that, but whatever I will say, amen. Whatever I will say, by the time I finish the message, these 8 questions will have been answered concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The first question that will be answered, the questions will include, the first one is, who is the Holy Ghost? The second question is, what is the Holy Ghost given for? Hallelujah. What is the Holy Ghost given for? And the third one is, what is the evidence? That is, how do I know I have received the Holy Ghost? How do I know I have received the Holy Ghost? The fourth question that will be answered, are you writing them down? Because when you don't get them, if you don't get it after I finish my message today or tomorrow, you will have to ask these questions again. But remember, I said, I'm not going to answer them sequentially like that, serially like that. I say, it's the picture that we shall get. This is the summary. These are the questions that will have been answered. So number 4, how do I receive the Holy Ghost? How do I receive the Holy Ghost? Do I repeat the first one again? Let me go a little slow so that you can write it down. Amen. Hallelujah. The first one is, who is the Holy Ghost? Number two, what is the purpose of the Holy Ghost? That is, what is the Holy Ghost given for? Number three, what is the evidence? How do I know I have received the Holy Ghost? Number four, how do I receive the Holy Ghost? How do I receive the Holy Ghost? Number five, can I still be lost after I have received the Holy Ghost? Can I still go to hell after I receive the Holy Ghost? That's number five. Number six, can I receive the Holy Ghost and lose the Holy Ghost again for any reason? I received him yesterday, then he left me. He went away. Is it possible for any reason? Number seven, can I receive the Holy Ghost? Is it possible to receive the Holy Ghost without knowing that I have received the Holy Ghost? Finally, number eight, can I receive the Holy Ghost more than once? Can I receive the Holy Ghost more than once? Tonight we are talking about the power to conquer. And there are two enemies to conquer. The enemy within and the enemy without. I will explain. There is the enemy without. Those are the witches and wizards and occultic people, men and women that just decide you should not enjoy this earth. They are the enemies without. Then there is the enemy within. Now the enemy within is the enemy in your flesh, your carnal man. And there's the tendency to face only one part of the enemy. To just face the enemy without, witches and wizards. If you conquer witches and wizards, you conquer principalities and powers, you still have another enemy that will remain with you till the day you die. That enemy is yourself, your carnal man. But there is a power to conquer both enemies. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And listen carefully, because that power to conquer these two enemies, enemies without and enemies within, this power, listen, this power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. See, what we are going to talk about is the most important sermon in this Bible. What I am talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you are wondering, where are you going? Where am I going? What did you bring blood inside again? For your various churches, you have so many ways that it is approached. But I have hardly gone to pick any book on the baptism of the Holy Ghost that I have ever been satisfied with the picture they portray concerning what the Holy Ghost is. And the importance of the Holy Ghost, not too many people know how important the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. Not too many people even know what the Holy Ghost is all about. And so, there's not much importance given to the topic of the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost is spoken of, the first thing that comes to your mind is the operation of the gifts. You're looking at the anointing, you're looking at the gifts. But it's deeper than that. Hallelujah. It's deeper than that. And emphasis, instead of emphasis to be laid on this one topic, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the question, the issue of the Holy Ghost baptism, attention is now focused on prosperity, deliverance, healing, and all the rest, particularly breakthrough, prosperity. Go to any bookshop and look at the topics. Look at the books. 99.9% is prosperity. 2,000 steps to success. How to live above above poverty level. Amen. It's okay. They are all in the Bible, but there is one thing needful. Amen. I try to look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Everybody knows it. Can you quote it? What does it say? Give somebody to quote it. Like, give somebody microphone. Anybody? Stand up. What does it say? Give me microphone.
Praise the Lord.
What does it say?
Say, my God will supply all my needs according to...
God bless you. Another person who knows it again, quote it. Yes? Somebody. My God.
Praise the Lord. He said that my God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Praise God. So everybody knows it. Philippians 4:19. Shall we go? Let's say it. Let's go. But my God shall supply all. You know why I say you should quote it? We always say, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ. But that scripture didn't add S, it didn't say needs. It said, but my God will supply all my need. No S inside. And because S is not there, the meaning of that statement, you have not caught it. You are thinking that what Apostle Paul is saying is, he'll give you a lot of food to eat. He'll give you everything you need, he'll give you. There is only one need in the life of a Christian. And the life of every human being at all, there is only one need. Amen. There's only one thing the whole world needs. That one thing we need is the only thing that we lost in the Garden of Eden. That is the only reason why Christ came and went to the cross on Calvary. The one need that mankind generally need is eternal life. It's eternal life. And when you have eternal life, you have every other thing. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things we follow. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's one thing that is needful. Is the topic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's so important since this ministry started. We have given it its desired attention. And we have received also the expected result. If there's any church that God has given opportunity to see the reality of both God and Satan, I believe this is one of the churches. I have seen here where a sinner is converted. And genuinely converted. After they receive the Holy Ghost. I've also seen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another mystery. Where somebody in this same church, so anointed and operating the gift, and everybody will look and say, Kai, this one has received the Holy Ghost. And with all that anointing, only to see the person living worse than the devil himself. In this same ministry. And why? Amen. There's a mystery to it. And that is why I ask the question. Is it possible for you to receive the Holy Ghost and you don't know it? I ask another question to be answered. That what is the evidence that I have received the Holy Ghost? So that you will know whether you have actually received the Holy Ghost or not. And I believe in God. That everybody sitting down here, I'm believing you, that you want to go to heaven. That's the reason you are not in a nightclub tonight. You have chosen to be in the church. That's the reason you have refused to follow any other religion, but decided to carry Bible and go to church. You believe that this is the way that will lead you to heaven. And if it is true, that this is what you believe, amen. Hallelujah. You are the right path. Seriously, the right path. I'm not going to rush this because the actual Holy Ghost baptism is this tomorrow night or tonight. Friday night. So, I want you to understand it very well. So that when you lift up your hand, you say, Father, give me the Holy Ghost, you will know what you are asking for. Amen. Because some people, when you say, receive the Holy Ghost, they are saying, oh Lord, make me a prophet. Amen. Receive the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, I want to see vision. Now, you will know whether that is a correct prayer or not. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The power to conquer. I say, that power to conquer is in the blood. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ. There's something about this blood thing. Amen. There's a mystery about blood. Blood. You know that the highest covenant anybody can enter into, all these occultic people, you know it is blood they use. And anytime you swear using blood, you know, chop, 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 it works. Nothing can reverse that thing easily. Hallelujah. When Satan wants to cause destruction, when Satan wants to kill, amen, the rituals that are done to make somebody die, it is blood they use. The rituals that they use to mess up people's life, to make somebody run mad, to make somebody remain a poor man, a poor woman forever, to make you remain in perpetual misery, always, when the enemy goes to Babalawo, always, you will always hear him say, bring one animal or the other, it must involve blood. Always blood. John 10:10 said, the thief coming up to do what? Steal. Kill. And to do what? To destroy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And anytime he comes to steal your glory, your destiny, your peace, your joy, he uses blood. I told you the story of the young girl that came telling him how she happened to be in the house. She also was caged in that house until somehow she received her deliverance. But while she was in that house, the woman, known outside as a very serious, you know, society woman, that woman had a son. The son She wanted the son to be a lawyer. She wanted the son to be a lawyer, but the son wanted to be a pastor. And unknown to him, the woman is an occultic woman. And the man insisted, the son insisted, and went to Bible school instead of going to university to read law. And so, according to her, she said she was watching in the night. She sneaked and watched. She suspected the woman was about doing something. She took a fowl and went to a room. She said she hid somewhere, peeped and was looking. She slaughtered the chicken, got an image, and held it, and sprinkled the blood there, and took rope, a thread, and began to make her incantation and was calling the boy's name. I say you should go and read law. Me, your mother, tell you what to do. You are telling me you know better. You say you want to be pastor. I will see how you will progress. As I tie you, I tie your progress. I tie. And that is how she was doing. She tied the whole thing and kept it somewhere. According to that young girl, she was telling me, up to about 3 months ago or so when she came telling me this, he said, up to now, that boy, nothing is working for him, even food to eat. Going up and down. And what came to my mind is, as she was speaking, I've shared it with some of you here before. The woman wanted to curse the boy, but he needed blood. She needed blood. Why will she have to sprinkle a blood before the curse can work? And I began to meditate on that. Then I understood also why God, in coming down to deliver his own children, he also brought his blood of his only begotten son and shed that blood for you and me to be free. There is something about the blood. There is something about the blood. What is it that is in the blood? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 17, if you read verse 11 and verse 14, it says, the life, the children of Israel were warned not to eat any blood. Don't eat the blood of any animal. And that scripture, Lord God was warning them. The reason is because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Listen to that statement. The life of the flesh, this body you are carrying, the thing that is keeping you alive, God told the children of Israel, he said, that thing is in the blood. Listen, that thing is not the blood, though. That thing is in the blood. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The life of the flesh is not the blood, though. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Is in the blood. There's something in every blood. There's a life in the blood that keeps us alive. That's why when you are losing blood, you are losing that thing that gives you life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it is so important that we begin to understand Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Where he says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Listen, church. For those hearing us for the first time, you are wondering what is he saying? You will understand. I am talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to the root of it all so that you will understand what is the Holy Ghost. And if you can catch this, you will know how to pray for the Holy Ghost better than the way some of us do now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The law of God, amen, is that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It is a law. It is a law, a spiritual law. Written or not written, that is the law. Now, and we know that from the Garden of Eden, every human being on earth, because of what happened there, we were all condemned to death. The curse of sin was upon us. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us, hallelujah, for that sin that is upon us to be remitted, blood has to be shed. And when it was time for God to activate his program for the salvation of his predestinated children on earth, he found Abraham, gave him his seed, gave him Israel, Jacob, Israel, and gave him those 12 tribes of Israel that made the nation of Israel today. And the Bible calls Israel as God's inheritance on earth. Amen. In the whole families of the earth, the whole possession of the earth, the only thing that God possessed on earth was the tribe, was the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. They were the only people on earth he had a covenant with. They were the only people on earth he had a covenant with. Hallelujah. And God chose them so that he will use them to set forth a shadow of something he will be doing in future. He was going to have a relationship with them, and God cannot behold sin. And so there was a need for the sin of his children to be atoned. What did he use? He used the blood of animal. When you committed any sin, once every year, you go and bring a lamb before the high priest, confess your sin, the soul that sinned shall die. That is the law. If you commit sin, you should die. And that's why the whole world has been condemned to death. But he made a way of escape. Grace. 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 Hallelujah. He told the children of Israel, just instead of you to die, bring an animal to die in your stead. Amen. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul in Hebrew, he was explaining that, amen. Hebrew chapter 10, verse 4. He said, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Why? Because every year, listen, church, you have to catch this. I ask God that this topic is so wide, he should just let me package it very simple, break it down and summarize it and just give us the picture so that the rest you can expand on it yourself. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul caught this revelation and he says, every year, the sinner will be coming back again. Once every year, you will come to the temple, come before the high priest, bring another goat. Why? Because there is nothing in the blood of that animal that can affect the conscience of the sinner. And so, he has gone, yes, the sins he has committed this year, God has forgiven him, but he must come back again because the nature of sin has not been affected. That's what Hebrews 10:4 is saying, that it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Taking away sin there, take away the sin nature inside of a man, inside of a woman. An animal blood, There is a life in that blood, quite all right, but the type of life that is in the blood of that animal, it cannot affect the life of a sinner. So you are still a sinner and killing every animal every year. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible expects all his children to be perfect. He said, be perfect. For even our own God, he is perfect. We are to be perfect. But how will God make us perfect? No human being can be perfect, because every day we make one mistake or the other. We exhibit one carnality or the other. But when we come to Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14, Apostle Paul was telling us, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Remember, the blood was for sanctification. Amen. Praise the Lord. By one offering, which offering is that? The offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. The offering that he, God, offered one sacrifice. Once. Now, if by one sacrifice, the sacrifice once that God offered through Christ, the offering of Christ for us, once, he did it only once, and just once it is done, he said forever. He perfects a sinner by that one offering. Then, what is it in this blood of Jesus Christ that can make me so perfect before God? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The greatest problem on earth today is for the world to understand the difference between Christianity and other religions. Wonderful controversy. When Jesus stood in John 14 verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. By that statement, all other religions, they are off. They are off. Kai, aren't you happy you're a Christian? Aren't you happy you're a Christian? Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They don't know. Apostle Paul was speaking about how God has hidden this mystery from the wise and prudent and reveal it to babes such as we learn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This great mystery of salvation. I was watching a Hindu man saying that the Hindus believe you work out your own salvation. You don't depend on any man. No man can die for you. No man can suffer for you. You say, oh, they don't believe in that. Therefore, you suffer by yourself. And they believe that if you don't suffer enough here to pay for your sins here, if you die, you come back again. And come back, continue to suffer and suffer until you have finished the suffering. Depends on how you have suffered. If you die, then you go to a certain realm. The realm takes you higher, nearer and nearer God. So if you suffer where we're here, that is where they get the idea of a monk. A monk is a religious Hindu or whatever religion that operate a monk. They have decided to live a life of celibacy. They have decided to live a life of suffering. They just live by charity. They have denied themselves all worldly pleasures so that when they die, they will not come back again. They will go to another higher realm than this place. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He, God, has hidden the mystery of salvation to all these wise and mighty men and women, intellectuals, and reveal it to you and me when no go school self. Aren't you happy you're a Christian? Oh, I am happy I'm a Christian. I am happy I'm a Christian, church. I'm happy I'm a Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24, a statement Apostle Paul made there, 1 Corinthians 1:24, where he said, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now when you read that scripture, begin to meditate on it. Christ Jesus, he said he is the power of God and he is the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, describing Jesus Christ, he said, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him are hidden all, not some, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ, the wisdom of God. Which wisdom? When God lost his children in the Garden of Eden, Satan thought he had succeeded. But he didn't succeed. He didn't succeed. And God began to think, in the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1 verse 1. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. I've explained that scripture before. The Greek narration, that word there is logos. In the beginning was the logos. Logos there is thought. Hallelujah. Is thought. That scripture should read, in the beginning was a thought. And that thought was with God. And that thought was God. And that thought became flesh. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Which thought? As soon as man fell in the Garden of Eden, God began the thought. Hallelujah. From the foundation of the world, because he said, in the beginning. My Bible tells me, God's book of life, the Lamb book of life, when was it written? Was it in the Garden of Eden? When was it written? Before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13 verse 8. Revelation 17 verse 8. Before, from the foundation of the world. Oh, glory be to God. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. From verse 3. Hear what he said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. When did he choose us in him? When you are reading it, read it. You are not reading with me. I am reading verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. See, a revelated Paul. See the way he was putting that deep thought there. He's greeting those of us. Hallelujah. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him. When? That's what I'm asking you. Are we together? Are you reading or are you looking at me? When did he choose us in him? Before the foundation of the world, God has already chosen us in Christ. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the beginning was a thought. Before God created Adam, did he know that Eve would tempt him? Serpent would tempt them? Did God know? Even before he created them, did he know? Now that you are saved, did God know that you will be saved? Did God know before your papa marry your mama that you will give birth to you and today you'll be sitting down here? Did God know? Oh, did he know? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you think that the serpent took God by surprise? He knew, knowing that the man that he will create will fall. Before he created him, he made a way for his restoration. In the beginning was the thought. The thought of how he would bring back man from his fallen estate, reconcile him back to him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the wisdom that he knew he will use to bring back man, that wisdom was Christ. That's why Apostle Paul said Christ, the wisdom of God. The wisdom. And that is the wisdom he used. That Apostle Paul said, if the princes of this world had known who Christ was, he said, they would not have killed him. But I'm happy they didn't know who he was. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because if they didn't kill him, you and I will not be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it's the wisdom to get back his children back to him. And Christ is the power of God. Which power? Is the power that God has used to change a sinner into a saint. It is Christ he used. It is Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is something about Christ that changes a sinner to a saint. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through Christ, we are transformed. And through him, because we are now transformed, blessed be the name of the Lord. How are we transformed? How does he use Christ to transform a sinner to a saint? We go back again to the Old Testament where Apostle Paul was making an analogy. Hallelujah. Where he made a reference in Hebrews chapter 10 that for it is not possible that the blood of an animal, bulls and goats, that it will, affect the life of a sinner. It cannot change a sinner. It cannot remit sin. I mean, it cannot just, change your nature. Why? The difference between the life that is in that animal and the life that is in the blood of Christ, the life in the blood of that animal and the life in the blood of Jesus Christ, there's a difference. There is something in the blood of Jesus Christ that can affect the life of a believer. That thing is in his blood. Anytime you shout, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, do you know what you mean? You are making reference to the power that has set you free. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Christ went to the cross of Calvary, remember John the Baptist in John chapter 1 verse 29, he referred to him as who? He said, behold the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. I answered a question on Monday or Tuesday. The baptism of Jesus Christ, what was it for and in what name was he baptized? I made reference to the fact that his baptism is different from our baptism. Our baptism is for the remission of sin, and our sins are remitted only through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we baptize in his name. But his own baptism was to fulfill all righteousness. That's what he told John the Baptist. Which righteousness? The Lamb of God, before sacrifice, is washed. He was washed, and then he went for the sacrifice on the cross on Calvary. When he hung on the cross of Calvary, so many things took place that day as recorded in the scripture. Amen. But one important thing that happened is that the Bible says he gave up the ghost when he shouted, "It is finished." That statement, "It is finished," is 2 hours sermon. Hallelujah. And he gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. The ghost. What is a ghost? What is a ghost? Amen. Hallelujah. A ghost is the spirit of a dead man. So what is the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost? The ghost of a holy man is the Holy Ghost. But we'll come to that later. Praise the Lord. So that you'll understand that. Hallelujah. The life that is in the blood of Jesus Christ is eternal life. The power that transforms a believer, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why will you be saved? Because when you come to the cross of Calvary, there is a life inside that blood. When he said he gave up the ghost, that life left him. Praise God. Amen. To every believer that will rest your faith on what God did through Jesus Christ on the cross on Calvary. The life there that comes upon every believer is the Holy Ghost. That is what is referred to as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Baptism of the Holy Ghost is the receipt of the life that flow through the blood of Jesus Christ. When that sacrifice was made, that was the sacrifice that was made for the sinner. The sinner can come and rest your faith, knowing that I deserve to die. We sing the song, "I owe the debt I could not pay. He owed the debt he did not owe," or something like that. "I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I can sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay." You believe it? Yes. Oh, blessed be the name of God. Do you know the joy of this all? Amen. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners. Amen. Do you know why you didn't die until you have received Christ? I was hearing the testimony of a sister had her dying moments. A sister here, a sister that used to come. She had a problem that brought her here. And she developed something in the stomach in a very mysterious way like that. A sister said she was in the hospital with her. And those last moments, she would call this sister and tell her, say, "What if you come tomorrow and you see I am no more? What will you be saying?" She said the sister was telling her that, "Do you know that it is not, there's nothing about living a life and then knowing that you have to die and you are going to a better place than where you are now." I was preaching to her. He said, "Make sure you receive Christ and receive the Holy Ghost." Somebody dying in the hospital. Make sure. He said, "That is the important thing." He said, "If she dies," she kept saying that she knows who did this. Her mother-in-law did this She knows when it happened. But if God didn't take it away, she doesn't care. What bothers her now is where she's going. And that she is sure she's going to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Why would you think at the point of death, a woman, what is giving her that confidence? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They said she picked up phone and tried to call me. The number was not going through. She tried to call Pastor Thomas, tried to call others. He said, all she wanted to just tell us was, she's going. And that she'll be there waiting for us. Hallelujah. What will make a Christian die like that? That is the death of a righteous man, righteous woman. And the heart, he said, that she's now crossing the river. She will soon go to cross the river. She was telling her, which river? He said, you will not understand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then the nurse was watching her. She made sure her friend left the room. The nurse said, she just told the nurse, always remember this thing I tell you. Make sure you give your life to Christ and make sure you receive the Holy Ghost. That was the last statement she said. And she said, I will see you. And the phone fell from her hand. She was gone. Praise God. That's the type of death I want to die. Die happily. Knowing where I am going. Why? Because I have received eternal life. The life that flowed through the blood of Jesus Christ. That life comes upon the believer. Then you will understand. Hallelujah. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Then you will understand. When Christ made a statement in John chapter 3, except ye are born again. He said, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Except you are born of the Spirit and of water, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When that life comes upon you, that what it does in you, it transforms you from a sinner to a saint. Then you can say you have eternal life. Then you can say you are born again. Then you can say, I am a Christian. I will explain it further. What is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? The commonest question. And I say, you cannot begin to talk about the evidence of the Holy Ghost until you are able to know who the Holy Ghost is and what is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Because our Pentecostal brethren tells you that the evidence that you have the Holy Ghost is that you will speak in tongue. The evidence that you have the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues. And that's the reason why I build this background for you to understand that the power of transformation, the power to overcome or power to conquer is in the blood. It's in the blood, church. It's in the blood. The evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongue. It's not. But listen, understand me very well. The evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongue, but if you have received the Holy Ghost, you can speak in tongue. Am I confusing anybody? Is that English correct? I say, if somebody say, Amen. I say that you are speaking in tongue. Speaking in tongue is a gift of the Holy Ghost. That you are operating a gift of the Holy Ghost does not mean you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we shall prove it too. But if you have received the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, you may speak in tongue. And it's not everybody that will speak in tongue. The teaching that says everybody that receives the Holy Ghost must speak in tongue is unscriptural. It's a denominational teaching. It's error. And so many of you speaking in tongue today, amen. You know the tongue you are speaking is the tongue that your pastor taught you. Open your mouth. You are the one holding yourself. You see, you have it. You are the one holding yourself. You see, the Holy Ghost, if this was a Pentecostal, one of the Pentecostal churches now, I would have been busy teaching you how you will speak in tongue. Now that it is baptism of the Holy Ghost we are talking about. Then I would have been telling you, you see, all of you sitting down here, you have it. The only thing is you are the one holding yourself. You see, it can start small, small. It may just start like ka. Then, as you yield yourself, it will increase to kala. And as you continue to speak, it will go to kalaba. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Another scripture says, he that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall abide in the congregation of the dead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What are you saying, this pastor? All other pastors, they have taught that to receive the Holy Ghost is to speak in tongues. That is the evidence. Why are you speaking different? Which kind of church be this? Amen. This is a restored ministry. Amen. Tell your neighbor you are in the restored ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, if these musicians were sitting down here now, I would have sung one song for you. They finished singing Calabas song. They are all tired sitting down there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, church. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, there are three steps for the rapture. Three steps for the rapture. Amen. The first step, he said, for the Lord himself shall descend first with what? Oh, bride members, say it, let the people know you know your Bible. Thank you. That is the first one. He said he will first descend with a shout. The second one is what? The voice of the archangel. The third one is what? The trump of God. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we who are alive will be changed in a moment. And together we shall meet the Lord in the air. And there we shall be with him. He said, therefore, let us comfort one another by these words. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is the shout? The shout is the same thing that Jesus Christ spoke about in Matthew 25, verse 6. Parable of the foolish and wise virgins. All slept because the bridegroom tarried. But at midnight, verse 6 says, there was a cry made. What is the cry saying? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. That is a cry. pointing the attention of the people to the soon coming of the Lord. Wake up from your sleep. He shouted, go ye out to meet him. If he said, go ye out, it means you are inside somewhere. Get out from where you are. Where are you? Get out of denominational error. Get out of denominational system. Come out of those errors and go out and go and meet him. That is the midnight cry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is who we are. The shout is the end time message, telling the children of God, the bride of Christ in this age, come back to Bible Christianity. Come back to Bible Christianity. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message.
Amen.
And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. God original life. Hallelujah. The original life. Hey, the original seed. The original world. It's so heavenly. Christianity, then watch it. On the day of Pentecost, 120 of them were sitting in the upper room. Then Peter rose up and said, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Are you ready? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go! Hallelujah. Now, they were gathered in one accord. Do you know the meaning of one accord? One purpose, one faith, one baptism. Hallelujah. Brotherly love existing among them. Same doctrine, same hope. Hallelujah. Suddenly, somebody shout suddenly. Shout again, suddenly. Something began to happen. Hallelujah. A mighty rushing wind blew. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And before you know what, the pillar of fire, that same pillar of fire that followed the ministry of Moses in the wilderness, he appeared as a pillar of fire in the night. The same pillar of fire that struck Apostle Paul on his way to Damascus, that same pillar of fire that appeared in the ministry of William Branham in this age, blessed be the name of the Lord. That same pillar of fire, hallelujah, came into that room, broke into tongues, and stood upon everyone's head. And the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Not as the pastor gave them utterance. It's a supernatural action. It's not you saying, okay, I'm ready now to speak in tongues. No! It's a supernatural. It's as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. It was the power of the Holy Ghost that moved them to speak in tongues. If you are speaking in any tongue, but it is not the tongue that is unctioned by the Holy Ghost, by a supernatural action, that you know, this is not you. There's something moving me and saying these things. If it is not that, it's a fake tongue, you better close that mouth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Down at the cross, where my Savior died. Now, up. Saved from sin, I cry. Yeah.